Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 82 years ago today, on December 7th, 1941, Japanese forces launched a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, to which the United States responded by entering World War II the following day. Over the course of the war, millions of men signed up or were drafted into the armed forces. And on the home front, scores of women stepped up to take their place on a scale that had never been seen before. Some became pilots, others joined the Red Cross, and millions of other women took up jobs on production lines and in naval yards building munitions, aircraft, and ships. Rosie the Riveter and her lesser-known cousin, Wendy the Welder, became symbols of feminine patriotism and empowerment, even as workers themselves they continued to face harassment, discrimination, and unequal pay. These experiences are the inspiration for a new story here from a Sacramento novelist weaving together historical fiction with a murder mystery. The book is called Poster Girl, and its author is Shelley Blanton Stroud. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I would love to start with your backstory because you have roots here on campus. You're an author. You're also a retired writing instructor at Sacramento State. What got you into writing?
You know, I feel like as time goes by, I've kind of excavated my dreams. I loved teaching. I taught overall for about 34 years, even beyond Sac State. And it was just a gift to me to do that. But as time passed, I realized that my little girl in me still thought maybe I could be Louisa May Alcott. And so I've been really privileged to be able to make that turn into this next chapter of my life, focused on writing myself.
What inspired you to write a novel about the experience of women in World War II, especially those who entered the labor force?
You know, this is the third of a trilogy, the Jane Benjamin novels. And in every single one of them, I won't say that I started with this intention, but I discovered or revealed it as I wrote, that my real subject matter, aside from murder mystery, I mean, people die very quickly in these books. Aside from that, what I'm really interested in is the history of women who are ambitious and how difficult it is to be such a woman, particularly in history. So every book has dealt with that, and I don't believe that any group of women could illustrate that better than the Rosie the Riveters or Wendy the Welders.
Yeah, and this draws upon, you know, of course, history, but you also intertwine it with plot twists and a murder mystery. What draws you to mystery fiction?
You know, when I was first sort of learning to write as a fiction person, I realized that I'm drawn to read mystery. And I realized that also that it was kind of a lifelong or career-long preference of mine that I love revelations. When I'm reading, I love the feeling of, oh my gosh, it has revealed something to me. I love when I read my students' essays and I would get near the bottom and I felt that I discovered what they thought. And I love revealing things to other people. So it's really about the joy of revelation, and the mystery structure helps me live in there quite a bit.
Yeah, and even though that this is a fiction, I mean, there's still a great deal that people can learn about this time in history.
It's true. In my first novel, one of the things I think about quite a bit was I used my father's real life experience in order to tell the first scene in that novel. And his reaction was, it isn't what happened, but it's the truth. And that's what I'm aiming for, to do enough research so that I know what really happened and to what kind of people and what motivated their response to it, and then create fiction that illustrates that.
Given that this is the third installment of the Jane Benjamin series, tell us about the first two books, Copy Boy and Tomboy.
Right. Well, in Copy Boy, my protagonist, Jane Benjamin, is a 17-year-old tomato picker in Sacramento. She picks tomatoes before school. She picks them after school. She gets involved in what she feels. She feels she's committed a crime. She escapes for it to San Francisco during the height of the Great Depression and cannot get work until she cuts off her hair, cross-dresses, poses as a man to become a copy boy at a San Francisco newspaper. And that novel involves sort of a stand-in for a WPA photographer, Dorothea Lange. And then the second book takes place, Tomboy, in 1939, and features a main character who's modeled after Alice Marble, the Wimbledon champion tennis player, the last Wimbledon played before World War II. And so all of them are kind of centered on historical events, historical figures, and imagining what kind of tests that would have provided for such people.
You bring up such an important point that I was going to get to next, is that even though these are fictional characters, at least most of them, mm-hmm. they are based on real world inspiration.
That's right. That's right.
And why do that? I mean, there's so mm-hmm. many. I mean, from Jane Benjamin to Adam Lowe, Belva Sanders, but Hedda Hopper, who's in this new installment, that's Jane Benjamin's rival, right? That's a real person.
That's right. And in fact, particularly in Poster Girl, there's a handful of fictional characters, and there are a handful of real life people whose names really were what they are in the book. And you know, historical fiction writers live on a kind of continuum in terms of how they deal with reality in their novels. And where I am on that continuum is that I read deeply into the history, and I need to tell a story. I need the novel to have a shape that is pleasing to me and reveals something for my readers. So I don't want to just have all real life people, because if I use their names, for instance, the Henry J. Kaiser is the founder of the shipyards on which this novel is based. And I was fascinated by how much I found out about him, but I couldn't use him as a character in the book. He had to inspire the character of Adam Lowe, because I need Adam Lowe to behave badly, and Henry J. Kaiser didn't do what Adam Lowe did. So I think it's a lot of it turns on the author's note at the end of the novel to be able to say, this was inspired by this real life person, but altered, this real life person did not do that.
For this third book, I mean, you focus a great deal on Wendy the Welders, and you know, I think a lot of people know who Rosie the Riveter is. You know, why focus on Wendy the Welder? I don't think many people are as aware of Wendy as they are of Rosie.
You know, the tiny little bit about that interested me, in addition to the fact that the women in the shipyards in Richmond, they welded rather than riveted for all kinds of science-related reasons with the ships and construction-related. But what really interested me was almost a facet of social media in 1942 and propaganda in 1942, that something catches hold in people's imagination, and then it lodges there. There was a song called Rosie the Riveter. There were a handful of women who were riveters whose names were closely related to Rosie, whose pictures were absolutely adorable. There was the Norman Rockwell painting of Rosie the Riveter that appeared on the Saturday Evening Post. There were posters, We Can Do It, that featured Rosie the Riveter. It all kind of just happened. And I'll tell you what, there are Wendy the Welders still living in Northern California who are just a little ticked off that nobody talks about the Welders.
That was going to be my next question, I would imagine, because they made a huge commitment as well and sacrifice during this time. They didn't get, you know, a painting or necessarily entered pop culture or social media what it would have been, you know, at that time. What do you want readers to take away from what the experience was like for a Wendy the Welder during the war?
One of the things I would want readers to experience is that there have always been ambitious women. There have always been hardworking women. And it was more difficult for them then, even than it is now, to live a life that is full of good work and good personal relationships, good romance, good love, good families. It was even harder then than it is now. And I just really enjoyed listening to your last interview about the kind of the reminder that history is cyclical, that problems we think we've solved, we have not necessarily solved. So I like to point the camera at people whose stories have not always been told, not to glorify them, but to make sure we see what it is really like.
I mean, you highlight prejudice and discrimination and sexism, you know, during that time. You know, when it comes to within women, women of color, I mean, what did you learn about that time?
One of my favorite books that I read on way to this project was a biography of Betty Reed Soskin, who was, until recently, the oldest living park ranger in the United States, working at the Rosie the Riveter Park. And I read her biography, and it was so fascinating for me to learn the emotional impact of things I'd read about in the history tomes, that Black women were not able to get their Boilermaker union cards as the first white women were. That was going to have to wait a while. So they were not able, despite their skills and their instincts and their energy to contribute, they were not able to earn the union card that would let them do that work. And it had real ramifications, at least in the case of Betty Reed Soskin, who inspires a character in my novel. It kind of motivates her to be a leader in the civil rights movement and then a great promoter of oral history about such women.
You know, what I also found interesting, you know, when you talk about the propaganda arm of it, I mean, Jane Benjamin, who is your protagonist, joins the Office of War Information, OWI, and that was a government agency that spreaded information to boost the war efforts on behalf of the United States, but also the United States actions and goals, essentially propaganda. I mean, what are your thoughts about, you know, what took place during that time and how it could relate to today?
You know, I've thought a lot about it. And in fact, it's kind of an enduring theme in my novels because Jane is a gossip columnist. And kind of ironically, since she comes from the dirt, as my family has, but it's the only job a girl like her can get. She doesn't finish high school. She is a quote-unquote Okie, like my family were. And she's not going to get a better job on a newspaper. It's not that she relishes making stuff up. It's not like she relishes manipulating people's opinions. It's the work that she can get. And it rubs her wrong all the time. And I sort of feel that we're in that space too. All of us are complicit one way or another in delivering messages that maybe we don't 100% agree with, but we find it useful, maybe even best, to edit what we think to send out a message that will do some good.
Finally, Shelley, what do you hope readers take away when they finish the final page and close the book?
My mother-in-law, Joan Flowers, died this week, and one of my biggest reactions was regret that I never asked her about the stories before she married. And what I would suggest is that if you've got a grandmother still living or your mother is aging up there, talk to her, sit down, don't be in a rush, and ask her what it was like. We don't want to lose those stories.
I can't agree more.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shelley.
Thank you so much.
Shelley Blanton Stroud is a writer and author of the recently released historical fiction novel Poster Girl, which is inspired by women welders of World War II. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky and managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer and audio engineer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday.